Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
And Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and Happy New Year. I'm so excited to be with you this first Monday of 2013, which I can hardly believe because it's actually the seventh of the year. Incredible. So today's show, we have three fantastic guests. We're going to talk a lot of quilting over this hour. And my first guest is Amy Gibson of Stitchery Dickery Dock, the website. And, you know, I've been following Amy's work for a while, and I really like her style. It's very fresh. It's very fun. And then all of a sudden, she popped up over on the Craftsy site where she was teaching in 2012 all year long, doing a month-long block of the month, which was free. And it was really, really fun to see her every month on there doing the videos and giving us all her tips and her tricks. And now she's doing other things, and I'm really excited to have her on to tell us a little bit about her Sugar Block Club and all the things that go on with being a busy designer and a mom with a bunch of children under five, including twins. Yes. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Pat. I love your description.
Oh, God.
That was great.
You are just Miss Busybody the past few days, aren't you? You were traveling, and you had all these little ones in the car and no internet, and you're, like, typing to me from your phone as you got cell service. I'm like, oh my gosh, you get the What a Woman Award.
Oh, my gosh. It's been crazy. We drove out east with our four children who are all under five to visit family. So it was a little crazy, but
yeah. How old are your twins, Amy?
They are almost 5 months old.
So oh, my goodness.
They're getting big, and they were 2 months premature. So they're just little itty-bitty guys, but
Aww. They're
growing. So
I know a bunch of people were writing to me, ask her how the twins are. So
oh, they're great. They're doing so great. Yeah.
So
fun.
Tell me a little bit first about how you ended up teaching a full year worth of videos over at Craftsy. That must have been a blast.
Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you. It was unbelievable. It was really the opportunity of a lifetime. It's completely changed my life. But, you know, I went to the Sewing Summit in Salt Lake City last year, the inaugural Sewing Summit, which was an absolute blast. And I ended up meeting the folks from Craftsy while I was there and got to be friends with a couple of them. And we, you know, found out that we both were in Denver, which was exciting. So that kind of just opened up the door for some fun work together. And I designed a couple of patterns for them. And then we just were chatting and just said, hey, why don't we kind of, you know, come up with some fun kind of, you know, year-long series. And we really liked the idea of kind of making it really interactive and, you know, a place where people could ask questions and it's free and it's just, you know, I mean, Block of the Month have been around forever. They're tons of fun. So many of them going on, but we just thought it'd be fun to do one that had video classes for people who perhaps had never made a quilt before or just who hadn't, you know, done certain techniques before. So it just ended up to be just a huge blessing. So much fun and such a massive amount of people who joined in. It was just crazy from all over the world. It's tons of fun.
Do you even know how many people took that?
You know, we had 120,000 people sign up for it. So, it was really big and just changed my whole perspective on quilting, really. People from every country I could possibly think of and countries I haven't even heard of, just, you know, doing what they could to get the materials, to get the rulers, and posting pictures of their blocks. It was different than any online group that I had ever been a part of or seen, just with the sheer variety of different types of people and the volume. Some people were on there and it was the first quilt that they had ever made. Some people were, you know, had been quilting for 30, 40 years and had put it away for a while and, you know, saw this and picked it back up. So it was just a overwhelming number of new friends and fun, you know, interaction together. So
yeah, it's like a massive guild, only, you know, there's no way you'd all fit in one room. That's
oh my gosh, we should have like a Crafty Block of the Month reunion or something.
Yeah.
People come in. I mean, it was just the volume was really made it a unique group because there were just, you know, I mean,
all
we had little
clubs,
yeah, little sort of groups of people that would form saying, hey, everybody who's doing it from, you know, whatever, Ontario, Canada, or from Australia, join in our little group. We're getting together to make our blocks, you know. So,
oh, my gosh.
So it was fun.
You were also telling me you learned a few things, you know, about how differently people work.
Well, yes. You mean in terms of just...
like some people need a lot of detail, a lot of structure, and other people...
Yeah.
Are much more free-flowing and...
That was a really big challenge, was just people had so many, just such a varied, you know, comfort levels and sort of, there's so many different ways to make, you know, half-square triangles or flying geese, you know, different sort of standards. And so that was kind of just a little bit chaotic at the beginning to just be like, wow, so many people together quilting. And you know, a theme that kind of came up throughout the series was just, you know, and I feel really strongly about this, that there are so many different ways to quilt. There are different ways to make a block. There are different, you know, and you know, I hate to say, oh, there's no right and wrong, but really, this is an art. We do this for fun. It's a hobby. I really tried to stress that, you know, to kind of take the pressure off of people that they can sometimes feel in the quilting world to be perfect and to be exact and, well, what fabrics should I use? You know, what exact, you know, I tried to make it really open. If you want to adapt the blocks and, you know, move your half square triangles around or use different colors or not put in a stashing or do something crazy, do it. You know, this is fun. This is art. So, I was really all about that throughout the course, and I hope that people, you know, receive that from me. So.
Yeah, I like that part too about what you were presenting all along the way, and you know, it's just it's have fun. This is your hobby. So you've taken, you know, now, and you've been designing patterns, you know, anyways as part of what you do, but you have a new thing for this year, which I just think is adorable, called the Sugar Block Club. It's one of your patterns that you're selling. Tell me a little. Well, it's actually a club, so it's for the whole year. Tell me about it.
It is, you know, it's a block of the month series, and it's emailed, so they're PDF, you know, just cute little block patterns that I send everybody once a month. It's totally different from the Crafty Block of the Month. It's not a class. There's no videos. It's more just, you know, a monthly email subscription, kind of like, you know, you get like a bouquet of flowers or a bottle of wine every month. This is just get a fun new block pattern, and... You know, people are on Flickr and posting pictures of their blocks, and it is, you know, definitely like a group going on, a lot of socializing. I have a recipe.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, if any people who have been following my blog for a while will probably know that I have a major sweet tooth, and I'm always, you know, cooking way, way too much sugar. And so I have a plethora of dessert recipes that I'm always posting. And so I include just one of my favorite dessert recipes each month so people can try those out. So,
well, I wanted to tell people your website, Nate. It's stitcherydickerydoc, all one word, .com.
Exactly.
And they can see it at mine. And I was scrolling through your blog the other day. And can you tell me about the featherweights that have come to live with you? They are so cute.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, I got my first featherweight just like a month or two ago. So, so exciting. Like, I'm just over the moon about it. I've been wanting one forever. So I got one, and I happened to run across a little children's featherweight that is literally an exact replica. It's just tiny for a child. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, who's 4 and a half, is like, you know, completely all about sewing and loves to sit on my lap and pull out the pins and help. So we got her that for Christmas. So we have matching little identical featherweights. And this week we're setting up the little table. So we're going to sit in our sewing room and sew together.
That is just so cute. I had no idea. Was it a children's featherweight or like a salesman's sample? What was it?
It's a children's featherweight. It's plastic. And it's battery operated. It has a little pedal and it has, I wasn't quite sure how it would sew, but it sews a little chain stitch. It has a little protector like over the needle so they can't put their little finger under there, but just a little kid's one, you know.
Oh,
so.
It's really cute.
Yes, it's fun.
Now, one more thing before we're taking our break is if you could tell me a little bit about your local Modern Quilt Guild. You're in the Front Range Modern Quilt Guild.
Yes, I'm in the Front Range Modern Quilt Guild. It is such a blessing. I absolutely look forward to it. Such a fun guild. And we have members all across the Front Range here in Colorado. You know, all the way south as Pueblo and further, and then, you know, even people we have in Boulder. We're under the Modern Quilt Guild, and just, you know, we get together, we have swaps, and we do show and tell, and we have challenges. It's really encouraging. I'm a big sort of, you know, advocate for people joining guilds, whether it be a modern guild or a traditional guild. It's just really good fellowship amongst people who are like-minded and kind of encourage each other and inspire each other. So Front Range Modern Quilt Guild, check it out if you live in Colorado.
And how many people are in this particular one?
Oh, gosh. You know, registered numbers online, I feel like we might have a couple hundred, but there's less than 50 that will come to the monthly meeting. So that's not overwhelmingly big. It's pretty personal. So.
Well, Amy, this has been so delightful to have you on.
It's been a treat. I'm so honored, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, this has been great. I want everybody to come visit Amy Gibson at StitcheryDickoryDoc.com. Yeah. And you can follow along with her block of the month. And I think you really should join her Sugar Block Club. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Pat. Have a great day.
We're going to be right back after this little break.
See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos. The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Dev Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Vasek Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Vasek Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan. I have Debbie Brown on, who is an award-winning quilter. She's a teacher. She's an author. She was nominated by the Machine Quilters Expo as Quilt Teacher of the Year, the same year her first book came out. And she goes all around the country. You've probably seen her doing demos and classes at just about every major quilt show there is. She works a lot with handy quilters, so you might find her in their booth, and she's also, you know, of course, teaching. So, Debbie, how are you? It's good to see you or hear you. Yeah, I saw you, didn't I, just the other day?
Yeah, just Saturday, Pat. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is what, Monday? Yes, 2 days. Okay. This, we should have done that live, you know, Debbie. That would have been like, we could have just taped in New York City.
That could have been fun.
Yeah, would have been a lot of fun. I didn't think of that. So anyway, we're here. So how did you sort of start out? Tell us about how you started out sort of specializing in the machine quilting part of making the quilt. You know, you do beautiful patchwork too, by the way. But, you know, your specialty now is the quilting.
It is. I've always been more interested in the quilting than the piecing. But I started out as a hand quilter, and I never thought that I would quilt by machine ever. Back in the 90s, I was hand quilting for customers, and they told me I could get their quilts finished a lot faster if I bought a long arm machine, and I didn't really know what one was, but I guess I needed one. So I bought one and learned how to quilt and started quilting for customers pretty much right away.
That's unbelievable that you you didn't have like any fear going from, you know, you weren't sad to leave the hand quilting and go to the machine quilting.
I always thought I'd go back to hand quilting, and mm-hmm. 15 years later, I still haven't, but I intend to fully at some point. The quilting, I was just able to do so many more quilts and get so many more ideas realized with a machine than I was by hand, just because of how much more time hand quilting takes than machine quilting.
Yeah, yeah, I so get that because I used to do a lot of needle turn, you know, from the applique standpoint, and now I do mostly machine applique. It's just like I have too many quilts to finish, you know.
Right. I have too many ideas in my head that need to get onto fabric, and it would take too long to do them by hand. I think machine quilting has grown so much in the 15 years that I've been there. It's been great to watch how the industry has changed and how the art form itself has changed. Machine quilting used to be kind of, we'd hang our head in shame and say, oh, I'm a machine quilter back in the 80s or in the 90s. And now people are like, wow, that's machine quilted. That's beautiful. We can do so many amazing things with our home machines, with our long arm machines.
Well, tell me a little bit about your books, Beyond the Lines and Borders and Beyond. Tell me what's in them. What will people find in your books?
Well, in Beyond the Lines, it's a bunch of designs quilted with rulers and long-arm quilting templates. Since I was a hand quilter and quilt on home and long-arm machines, the book is written for all three types of quilting. It's using straight line designs and using circle designs, circles and arcs and half circles. And then there's a little section in there to show you other things to do that it's more than just the lines, that you can use the lines as a springboard for other types of quilting designs, such as circles to do your feathered wreaths on, things like that. The other book is Borders and Beyond, because the borders are always such a challenge on a quilt. You never know how many are going to be on a quilt. I've done thousands of quilts as a long-arm quilter, and I never knew how many borders would be on the next quilt that came, so I've had to come up with a bag of tricks of how to treat all those borders on a quilt. And you
can
treat
them. How many borders have you found on a quilt? Like, is there like a maximum that you've seen? Does anybody have like, you know, 10 borders or, you know,
yes.
You know how people layer their borders out sometimes?
Easily. I think the most I've seen is 14, 15, 16 borders.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing. And then I just kind of took the bull by the horns and designed a quilt that was all borders. So I had to learn how to deal with it. There was no middle. It was just all borders.
There you go. That'll really force you to practice.
Just jump in. I think that's the important thing when it comes to the quilting, is to just not be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. What can happen? It'll your quilt will be done. It might not be the design of your dreams, but it'll be loved. Somebody can snuggle under it, and the quilt will be loved.
That's right. Then you have another quilt to do. So there's always more quilts.
Always.
Always. Now, you have done a lot of videos.
I have.
That are out on YouTube, and I think they're fantastic. Tell us a little bit about that.
So many times people are looking for an idea, maybe not while they're at a quilt show, but when the quilt's in front of them. And mm-hmm. I'm probably not the only quilter who quilts it kind of the day before the party where you have to give the quilt. So you're looking for an idea at the last minute. I'm so grateful we have the internet that people can go onto YouTube and just Google border designs or free motion quilting designs and look up what type of designs they want and find videos to show them how. So I've put out a series, I don't know, I maybe have 50 videos on YouTube, different wow. parts of different quilts. I started with one of your quilts, Lucky Charms, a couple mm-hmm. years ago, and I filmed each section of that quilt as I was quilting it. And those are all still out there on my YouTube channel, Debbie Brown Quilts. And you can watch how I did the background designs and all the different borders and the blocks. They're all short videos, you know, 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. minutes, just enough to show you the technique.
Yeah, I like that. I like the little tiny videos like that that just give you enough, one thing, you can go and try it, so you don't have to spend a lot of time trying to absorb the, you know, the whole big quilt all at once. You did such a great job taking my quilt and just really making your version so absolutely gorgeous with your quilting. People
love
watching it.
Oh, I'm still looking back at that as my favorite quilt. That's probably my favorite quilt I've ever made. And sadly, I don't own it anymore. Somebody else does. It was auctioned off to support a quilting organization. But I promise myself one day I will remake it and keep the next one.
That's always good. That's always good. I mean, it's good to love it that much you want to remake it. So you like have that little thing to think about. Now, Debbie, you are one of the few people that I know, and I know a lot of quilters, but you're one of the few kind of group of people who can sort of jump between long arming and working on the domestic or the sit-down long arms, because there's a huge difference between pushing your fabric under the needle and standing up at the machine and quilting with the machine. How do you explain the difference between those two methods?
Wow. I've heard it described as one is drawing with a pencil on the paper and the other is moving the paper under the pencil. Mm-hmm. But I don't really find it that way. I learned how to long arm machine quilt before I learned how to quilt on a domestic machine or a sit down machine, mm-hmm. which is very backwards from the way a lot of people do it. Mm. I was able to grab the long arm machine in both of my hands and move it around. And I'm not an artist, so it's not that I had a history of all of this art training or an artistic mind to just draw these beautiful things. I had to fight and learn every quilting design on that long arm. But as I learned it, it was mine. And I can now do a lot of designs without thinking about them or see a design and kind of copy it. Or if there's a flower I want to make or a leaf, I can pretty much figure it out. But then when I tried to take those skills and my competence as a long arm quilter and take it down to pushing fabric through mm-hmm. my home machine, my long arm and a table, I had to take it a little slower and had to learn how to do it all over again. Mm-hmm. But I took it one simple shape at a time. If I was doing a leaf, which is, you can think of it as two S's looking at each other. Mm-hmm. I would do one S and stop, and then in my mind I'd have to think of which way the other one went and then move the fabric that way. Mm-hmm. So I tend to machine quilt on my home machine or my sit-down machine more slowly. Mm-hmm. It's a slower process for me, but I find it incredibly rewarding. It's very intimate to sit there and have the fabric in my hands, and I'm just pushing the fabric through the machine. That's my passion. It's what I do as a hobby. Whenever I'm not quilting for work, I'm quilting as a hobby.
Right,
too.
Right.
So I love pushing the fabric through, and it's just very satisfying that way.
And people can, do you have a schedule somewhere, or you have a place where they could, you know, find out where you're teaching or hire you to teach?
You can go to my website, debbiebrownquilts.com. There are classes on there, and I can be contacted through there. Okay. My schedule is not posted on there, but it's always the next thing on my list that I mean to do. Most of my quilting through Handy Quilter can be found through the Handy Quilter website on their events page.
Okay. Yeah. So
but my, one of the next things I'm doing is teaching in Australia in April. I'm going to be teaching at the Australasian Machine Quilting Convention in Melbourne.
Oh, wow. Have you been there before?
I've not been to Melbourne. I was in Adelaide.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to seeing a different part of Australia this spring. Fall.
And you were also in Russia last year.
I was in Russia. That was the most amazing trip. Australia was wonderful, but they speak English there, and I could read the signs. And culturally, it was not so foreign to me. Russia was just feeling like being on the moon in an amazing way. Seeing the quilters there, I learned that quilting is truly the international language because I do not speak Russian.
Mm-hmm.
But I taught for 5 days with a group of quilters, and my interpreter wasn't always right on hand, but I discovered if I just would teach in English in short words and very large hand gestures, mm-hmm. and my students would ask me questions in Russian and I would answer them in English, and we understood each other somehow. It was amazing.
Debbie, this has been fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Debbie Brown.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and now I have the delightful time of being able to talk to Jane Sassaman next. Jane is a she's a quilt artist. I call her an artist in my mind. That's what she is. And she's a fabric designer and she's an author. One of the really wonderful things, Jane's quilt Willow. which as if you go to my blog, you can see a photo of it. That was nominated as one and became one of the 100 best American quilts of the century. There's a group of quilts that were selected, and I totally agree with them on that choice. She's a fabric designer with Free Spirit, and I am truly a hoarder of Jane's fabric. I love it. I pile it up. I pet it. You know, I haven't used it, Jane, but I have it just in case I get to use it. Yes, exactly. So Jane, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
I bet you have some of the fabric I'm hoarding. I have to come see your place sometime. I've seen the pictures.
I'm afraid I have a mother load of Sassaman fabric.
Yes, yes, yes. We all know that we could just maybe write to Jane. She might just have a little scrap of that there.
Well, I do get those emails occasionally, and we did just put it on our new website. Mm-hmm. That we do have so much fabric here. If you are looking for something, mm-hmm. you know, that you can't find anymore because we know fabric disappears so quickly, that it's worth a try sending us a picture and we'll see if we happen to have any.
See, there we go. We can only have hope that we'll go back to the mother load.
Right, right.
So, Jane, you've written two books. Your first book was The Quilted Garden, and your second book that's fairly new out is Patchwork Sassaman Style. One of the things, I have both your books. They're sitting right here next to me. I'm petting them. The Quilted Garden talked a lot about how you started quilting and, you know, what your work environment's like. Can you tell me a little bit about that backstory? You know, how did you decide to become a quilter?
Well, I was one of those people that always knew I wanted to be an artist. I tried everything along the way. And in college, I gravitated toward fabric design and jewelry making. Mm-hmm. And eventually, fabric won. You didn't need any special materials, you know, just your sewing machine and your fabric. And I had those. Was very accessible, and but you know, I think a lot of us just like to make things. Mm-hmm. and
I resemble
always,
that remark.
Feel like I've always, yeah, been a designer. You know, I really have a soft spot for the decorative arts, and I think that's what makes my style. What it is that influence from decorative design.
Now, when you first started to quilt, did you join the guild? Did I read that you like went to your local guild to sort of see what it was all about?
Yeah, I quilted in the closet for many years. And then finally I did discover the Illinois Quilt Guild and started going to those meetings and sitting in the very back and nobody knowing what I was doing. And, of course, having little kids at that time as well, so, and freelancing as a designer. Mm. So you worked on quilts whenever you could and, you know, an hour here and an hour there. So I had a huge quilt. It took me 4 years to complete. Mm-hmm. And when I finally finished it, I took it and did my first show and tell at Illinois Quilters. And that was the night when my career started. It was the first time anybody knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that really kicked things off. And I do tell the story in my book about this woman who got up every meeting and had a wonderful quilt to show, and she said, oh, this came back from the show, or it's going to that show. And I would go home every meeting just totally disgusted with her because she was doing exactly what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. but I wasn't there yet, you mm-hmm. know.
And I would say to my husband when I got home, she was there again. And she was just so irritating. You know, she never talked to me, but she was a thorn in my side because she was doing, you know, she was where I was headed, but I wasn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally got up to show that quilt, it was horrifying. I was so scared to get up in front of that big room.
Oh, wow.
But when I did it, held the quilt up, the whole room went, oh, like that.
Yeah.
And whoa, the world opened up, and I went back to my chair, and who was there but that redheaded woman who was there every, you know, month with her wonderful work and said, oh, your work is fabulous. Mm-hmm. I'm starting a contemporary quilt group. Would you like to join?
Oh, my.
And you may imagine who that redheaded woman was. It was Carol Breyer Fallert, of course.
And, I was just going to say, I bet I know who it was.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, simply by shining her light, she spurred me on just by doing what she was supposed to do, not by correspondence or anything, just by example. Mm. And Carol still does that for all of us, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But very, very important for me to have that guiding light.
How neat. What a neat feeling, and what a neat thing to remember back, Jane. It's just like, oh, neat. You know, it's a great part of your quilt life, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think from Carol, I learned, too, just about sharing what you know. And that is a unique part of the quilting world. You ask a quilter how they did it, and they'll tell you. They don't hold back. I'm not sure painters would do the same thing. that you really aren't losing anything by sharing your knowledge. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think you're gaining something by doing that.
Yeah, I do too. I think the quilters are amazing. Anywhere you can just sit next to one and say, wow, what are you doing? And they tell you everything. It's just a great, it's sometimes more than you need, but it's a great community.
Now, your
quilts have changed from the very beginning. How did they start to change? You did some piecing and then you did some heavy applique. How did it transition?
Started as a strip piecer, although I didn't know that's what it was called, because I had seen Nancy Crow's quilt on the cover of American Craft, and that was 1980. So that was really what kicked everything off.
Mm-hmm.
I just never turned around. I saw that quilt and said, that's it. That's everything I need right there, everything I'm looking for right there. Mm-hmm. And so I started with straight lines, still trying to get a lot of electricity and movement and energy with straight lines. But eventually I bumped into applique, and it turned out that that's where my voice is at, is those organic kinds of shapes. And so now I piece with my fabric that I design, of course, but when I'm making what I call an art quilt, I'm using solid fabrics and applique, you know, so I think that's hard for a lot of quilters, you know, to find their voice, but the more you work, the more you find out about yourself and about your style and how you work. So it's just sticking with it long enough to let it come out.
When you applique, can you tell us what your technique is? Because I think it's a little bit different than what a lot of us use.
I tend to treat fabric a little more like paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a shape person. I collect shapes all the time. And when I find a shape that speaks my language, mm-hmm. I'll use it again and again. It just becomes part of my artistic ammunition, you know, my dictionary of designs, like a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
I use that shape a lot because to me it's the shape of growth. You know, it has that perpetual energy just mm-hmm. built right into it. And so usually it's the shapes that get the design going. And I'll come up with basically three contrasting shapes because contrast is where drama comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't compose ahead of time. I make my shapes and then I start to compose. So I Ouija those shapes around on my wall and see how they talk to each other. But
that's interesting. So you just have this like leaves and flowers and butterflies, and then you just start
right
and building a composition,
spiral, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then we start to let them talk to themselves. But that means that when you're working so physically, so hands-on mm-hmm. with the materials, my fabric is usually backed with interfacing to make mm-hmm. it more durable and more portable.
Okay.
So it is more like working with paper, if that makes sense, because it has that paper interfaced backing on it, mm-hmm. makes it much more easy to work with.
So that's where it's a little bit different. Most of us are not putting like an interfacing to create a more firmer shape that you're doing so that you can actually handle them more.
Right, right.
Ah.
And it gives you a really great edge for stitching on as well. So you get really sharp graphic shapes. And that's what I like. I like really strong, solid edges.
Mm-hmm. Then when you stitch it, what type of stitch do you usually use?
Well, I am a machine stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And since I do like that graphic edge, I do depend on the satin stitch quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the most mundane mechanical stitch on the planet. And I always tell my classes that I don't want my quilts to look like a old lady Christmas sweatshirt, if you know what I mean. Most people do.
Yes, yes.
Where it's just the stitch is always the same.
Right. Oops. Jane, we're going to be right back, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm back with Jane Sassaman. Jane, before we talk about your book and your current fabric, you know, which are all sort of intertwined, I'd love for you to just tell me, just sort of briefly, how did you design Willow? I mean, how did that happen for you? Was it a sketch? Were you playing like you were just describing? It's got this glorious tree and the amazing amount of applique in the border, this great big chunky border full of swirls and loops and dots of flowers. It's so exciting.
Well, really, I saw a fabulous embroidered jacket from the 1600s, English embroidery, and I love that work. And I saw the Leighton jacket, I think it was called, and it was just filled with birds and flowers and butterflies and bugs, and there was something so elegant, but also something very naive about it, something very witty about it, and I just absolutely loved it, and I said, I have to do something about that. So that's where the Willow idea basically grew out of. But also, my daughter's name is Willow, and she's a clone of her mother, unfortunately. And so it was also made just as a encouraging piece, a very optimistic piece. And I think that's one reason why people like it, is because it's very positive.
And do you own this quilt still, or does it belong to a museum or a gallery? Or
actually, it belongs to Fairfield Processing, the batting company.
Okay.
And I'm thrilled about that because they can take much better care of it than I can, you know, at home. And people get to see it when they go to work every day, and they actually brought it with them for their booth at Houston Market this year. So I got to see it again, which was really nice, you know, to go and look at a piece that's a few years old and revisit and check your craftsmanship. And and it held up pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I know. I read that you have got to see it, so I realized you didn't actually own it anymore, and I thought, wow, that's pretty neat to see it after, you know, not for a while. And so what'd you think of your stitching, Jane? Was it pretty good?
I did pretty good.
Well, you know, if people have in their mind now sort of what Willow is, and if they've looked at your work and they, you know, when your applique is with all this sort of excitement going on, what I've noticed about like your fabric in the past few years, Jane, is that you've taken all of that excitement that you used to do in applique and you've put it into your fabric designs. Is that sort of what other people see, or is it just me?
Well, I'm glad you do see that, because basically, I guess I kind of think of my free spirit fabric as being Sassaman cheater cloth. It's what I do in applique, only it's printed on a piece of fabric.
Beautiful, gorgeous fabric. That's
yeah, and I look at it as art by the yard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people say they can't cut it up, that's fine with me. You don't have to cut it up. Because it's good the way it is. So it makes good duvet covers and shower curtains, and, you know, using it as a big whole piece is a really obvious way to use it. It doesn't have to be cut up into little pieces.
Yeah, everybody really needs to look at your book, Patchwork Sassaman Style. Its subtitle is sort of Recipes for Dazzling Quilts, and that really sums it up. This book takes your fabric and has these spectacular quilts that they're simple piecing. They're not complicated piecing, but the final, it's like kaleidoscopy, how you do everything. Are you designing fabric with a pattern in mind, or does the pattern come after?
Well, It usually comes after, but like I say in the book, that after designing fabric for so long, there are certain ways that a pattern will speak to you. And if you learn to listen to what the pattern is doing, then it's a lot easier to plug it into a quilt design. Like a symmetrical fabric is just yearning to be fussy cut. You know, it's just asking for it. So, and I do a lot of symmetrical prints. So they do lend themselves to that kaleidoscopic look. But like you said, the piecing in all of these quilts is extremely simple. Mm-hmm. It's the fabric that makes it look so sophisticated.
Oh, and it's amazing. I mean, when I got the book, I mean, I'm not even joking, Jane. I mean, this is just like one of them that was so simple. I think it's called Amish Bars. And yeah, I have the, and it's basically long strips, but because of your fabric, you were using this sort of plaid and it looks like a ribbon and it looks pieced. And it looks like there's this complicated piecing between the strips and it's just a strip of fabric. I'm like, oh,
right.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun to play with, and you know, in the studio, I'm even I who design the fabrics going, oh, look at this,
yeah,
and coming up with things that I had never imagined before, and so as a designer, that's, you know, the second layer of the puzzle is, okay, now what am I going to make with this fabric? And it's a good challenge.
And you do a lot of that on your blog. You have your blog is part of your website, janesassaman.com, and you have a tab called Ideas Blog. And there you very generously work your fabric magic into multiple things. And it's, I think it really shows everybody how to use it, because you are playing, like you said. It's like you go, oh, you know, let's put it here, let's put it there.
Well, our house is definitely the laboratory for Sassaman fabric. I can't use any other kind of fabric anymore. It's embarrassing, but I just can't resist it. So, good thing, I guess.
There's a picture. Every once in a while, we see pictures of your studio. You have one where you're quilting and, you know, other things. So that's always fun. Get those little glimpses. And I've noticed, too. Oh, before I say that, you are doing a challenge with your fabric, right? Or is it a challenge with the book?
Right.
It's a challenge with the book or the fabric?
Right. Dragon Threads is sponsoring a contest that anybody can enter. And we chose one of the recipes in the book that you can make any size, and you don't have to use Sassaman fabric. You can use Kate or Amy or Lonnie, whoever's fabric you like, and plug it into that recipe. And the point is to show everybody that they're universal recipes, that you don't have to just use Jane fabric to make it successfully. So we're trying to widen, you know, the sphere there. But I think it's going to be really fun because they don't have to quilt the piece. They just have to make the top.
Oh, good.
And any size means, you know, that it doesn't have to take forever either. So
where do they find, where do people find that info?
If you go to Dragon Threads, you should be able to find everything you need to know.
Okay, that's your publisher, Dragon Threads. Fabulous. Okay, so I do, before we're done today, because I don't want to be sure I talk about this, you've been using a lot of interesting stitches, you know, feather stitches, you know, sort of things that look like leaves, like you're making like vines and leaves with all these interesting stitches. Is this holding your applique down? Is it the quilting? What are you doing here?
I use it for both finishing edges and in the quilting. I think a lot of times people are a little afraid of decorative stitches, which I think is reasonable sometimes because they can look very mechanical. But if you choose them carefully, mm-hmm. they're going to help you say exactly what you want to say. Mm-hmm. And so it's finding those stitches that speak your language. You know, and my machine has, 800 stitches or something. And there's maybe 24 at mm-hmm. this point that really speak my language. But you always are tripping onto something new, and you go, oh, wow, you know, I think I could use this mm-hmm. to get this idea across. And it's always exciting to find new stitches that can expand the way you express yourself.
Do you play with those somewhere else, like on a scrap, before you put them on your final project so you can be sure that it looks like what you want it to look like?
Well, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think everybody knows you need to stitch out every stitch your machine can do and then stretch it and squeeze it and alter it, because they never look like that little drawing on your machine, you know.
And you know what I discovered recently, Jane, with my machine? I discovered that I need to understand how to put the stitches, switch them, because it was combining them. And I can tell you, a blanket stitch and a feather stitch don't look good alternating. My machine was doing a blanket, then a feather, then a blanket, then a feather. I'm like, what is it doing?
Well, the other thing, too, on my machines, I can change the stitch width. Mm-hmm. So when I'm using that common satin stitch, mm-hmm. I'll make it get wider and thinner so that it isn't such a, you know, carbon-looking mechanical stitch. It becomes more organic mm-hmm. and
soft.
So there's a lot of things that you can do to tweak it to your benefit.
Well, this has been just so exciting to hear about your work and your fabrics. How often do your fabrics come out?
Well, they did come out once a year, but now they're going to come out twice a year. So
okay.
I'm complaining all the time now.
Yeah. Well, everybody needs to visit Jane at janesassaman.com and check out her books and join the contest. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. So I want to encourage everybody to send us a quilt top. Send us a picture of your quilt top, because we're giving away fabric, and you can't have too much of that.
Nope. Thanks, Jane.
You're welcome, Pat. Well, it's great to talk to you.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.